From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Well, good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there. Yes, this is the Central Valley Sports Report. You're listening to it on 1430 ESPN, and I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. And I think I may have mentioned this a few times over the past 5 years of having a show, but it's pretty nice because I literally live around the corner. I am 2 minutes away, depending on if I hit that stoplight on green on Sierra and Blackstone. I just live down on Sierra Avenue. It's a little bit south of Chili's right there on Herndon. So, hey, it's an easy drive for me to come to First String Sports every Saturday morning, 10 to 12. This is where I love to do my show. The only place where I want to do the show based on high school sports. Do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room. And, again, it never fails. At this time, there's always people getting their Letterman's jacket fixed up, configured, put the patches on, the Bible verses, whatever you want on your Letterman's jacket. This is the only place in Fresno and Clovis and the surrounding areas where you can get it. So come on down, First String Sports. Obviously, they got other things as well. All your sporting goods needs are here. I always love that the hats, too, they're displayed against the wall. A little bit more to my right out there by the cash register. So lots of cool stuff here. Again, thanks to First String Sports. They have been my day one sponsors. Do a fantastic job. I also want to thank Clovis Stone Masonry and Landscape Supply. They specifically sponsor my show as well. They are located on Sunnyside, just south of Herndon. Also want to thank Elite Performance Center, Fresno County Superintendent of Schools, and Raw Farms, who sponsor our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week, which is a really, really cool deal. Love the idea of highlighting a student every week. We have a huge banquet at the end of the year. We have a boy and girl athlete of the year that we name, get some scholarship, get iPads, get all kinds of cool stuff. So, yeah, good stuff. Couple notes here about the show. This is actually my second to last show. We got one more show next week for the 2025 year. I'm going to be taking the last two Saturdays off of December, and then we're going to be ramping it back up in January, beginning of January. So excited about that. So anyway, one more show. Next week's show is going to be really legit. I got some good guests lined up. Going to be kind of a year-end wrap-up review, what's really working well in the central section, what maybe are some things you got to work on, what are some highlights. Yeah, so I got some really good guests lined up for that one. You won't want to miss next week. Yeah, I also want to give a shout-out to my daughter, my middle daughter, Alex. It is her 21st birthday today. I don't think she's listening. She listens every once in a while, but I don't think she's listening. She's, I think, sleeping in. She's going to be hanging out with her friends for a lot of the day. We're going to be celebrating it tomorrow. So happy birthday, dear Alex. She, Boulder grad, like all of my daughters, got to be coached by Tim Admonson of Boulder. Not in basketball, but in badminton. So that was a lot of fun to show some of these badminton matches and talk to Coach Admonson about basketball while he's coaching badminton. Anyway, let's just say badminton has a little bit of a more loose, right? I don't know, the way they conduct their games is pretty fun. They just yell out, oh, this, you know, on court number three, we got this match and this match. So anyway, happy birthday to Alex, our middle daughter. We love you, and we're very, very proud of you. All right, so what's going on on the show today? Yes, there were some state playoff games last night. I'm going to review the three Central Section teams that played last night, preview a little bit the four teams that are playing today. After this commercial, I got the Minarets football team, at least two of their star players in the house right now. They are here live at First String Sports. Shannon Pulliam, the head coach, is here as well. They're D6 champs after defeating Orosi last week, and probably the coldest game I ever was on the broadcast for. It was super cold last week. I think it took me about 4 days to unthaw, but we got those guys in here, and we're going to be chatting with them about last week's win, what their first Central Section Championship in football history meant to them and the community, and they're playing tonight, guys. They got a home game. They're only one of three Central Section teams to have a home game in the state. I think there should have been four, but three. They're hosting tonight, 6 o'clock. Go check that out, man. Make sure you get there early. I got there, 50 minutes early last week, and that parking lot was filling up pretty darn quick. Make sure you get there early. So, yeah, we got the Minarets football team in the house. At the top of hour number two, it is basketball season already in the Central Section. And I got Paul Hernandez. Paul comes on the show at least once a year. A few times he's been on, a couple times, but a few years, I should say. He runs a great website. Man, that guy is absolutely dialed in the Central Section. He is actually going to be at the Clovis North tournament today. He's going to come on via the telephone, but Paul does a great, great job. He's a must-follow on social media. He's got Central Section rankings. He's got class of player rankings. So we're going to talk about the teams to watch, some sleeper teams, some of the players to get to know this year as well. So that will be at the top of hour number two. And bottom of hour number two, Phil Bonatti, my play-by-play guy. We are doing a wrap-up for our football season, the 12 games. I broadcasted 13. Phil went to Disneyland on one of the games, all expense paid, so he had to take it. So anyway, we're going to wrap up all the cool things that we saw. We have some Central Section leaders as well. Max Preps does a good job being able to sort those. So we'll go over those, some standout players, some of our favorite games, preview a little bit of basketball stuff. We are going to be broadcasting basketball this year. We've done one game already. Jalen Green got his jersey retired. So Phil's coming on. We're going to do a little football wrap-up for us. All right, so let's get to the games last night. So the NFHS Network, if you guys don't subscribe to that, you could do it. I think it's $13 a month, so it's not cheap. So I think you could do a monthly deal, but you got to make sure you cancel it. And I think we've all been there. We sign up for something, and then all of a sudden a bill shows up for $19.99. You're like, oh, I got to cancel it, and you forget again. So, yeah, so do that, and you'll be able to check out the games tonight. So I did that watching the Emmanuel at a Barstow game. So, Emmanuel, undefeated, the D4 champs here in the Central Section. I thought they should have had a home game. So, anyway, they got to go to Barstow. They had three losses on the year. And on paper, that was going to be a really, really tough matchup for the Eagles. Their strength is a running game, offensive line, and Barstow had the dudes to match up. And, unfortunately, Emmanuel made some mistakes late in that game, some mental mistakes, a few penalties that cost them, and they fell 13-12. So their undefeated season comes to an end. Josh Henderson has done a fantastic job with that program in year four, one game away from the state championship. I think they're going to be a little bit down next year. They graduate a lot of players, but a great season, a fantastic season. Emmanuel's never been in a state championship game in football. They have in basketball. But not in football. You know, the extra points were an issue. They tied it at 6, botched the extra point, then scored to make it 12-6. Barstow got a offsides call, moved them up a yard and a half. Emmanuel thought they could get the yard and a half, didn't do it. So they got stuffed. So 12-6, they scored, kicked the extra point, 13-12. And that was it. So, lots of things, right, you could point to in a football game while you last, but those extra points were big. If they were able to execute on either one of them, they most likely win that football game. There's also a crucial fumble around the 15-yard line that cost them. But a great season for the Emmanuel Eagles. Congrats to them. I know it was disappointing they made it to a state championship, but a great season nonetheless. The other loss, I should say, in the Central Section was from Aurora Grande in D3 AA. They fell at home to Ventura, I should say, 35-28. So great season for them. You know what they did in D2, right? Beat Tulare on the road in the championship game. So, or actually in the semifinals. So congrats to AG. Coast had a pretty good year this year, but they fell in the state playoffs. And the only team to win so far, again, four games tonight. I'll preview those in just a second. Bakersfield Christian. Congrats to them. Darren Carr and his brothers. Fantastic job after the Emmanuel game. Actually, I was switching back and forth a little bit, but after the Emmanuel game, I switched to that. So they advance with a win over La Habra, 24-21 in the D2AA title. So they're going to be playing in a state championship game. Remember, they won back in 2019. The Eagle defense is really, really good. Really good. Balanced offense. Have a good kicking game. That's important in the playoffs. So they're going to be playing. And it's kind of weird, guys. Actually, I don't know the dates, the days and times. Obviously, they're next week, Friday and Saturday. But they have after tonight, they'll announce the date and time for the state championship games. But Bakersfield Christian, they advanced. Darren Carr. I tease him. I'm like, well, if you win a state championship, you're going to have to come on the show. So we'll see about that. So tonight's games in D1A in the North, Central East, 12-1. They are at Pittsburgh, 11-2. They're playing tonight at 6. Definitely be tuned into that one. Had a little texting back and forth with Coach Biggs. It's going to be mano a mano in this one. Athletes against athletes. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored in this football game tonight. I think a key to this game is who can explode on the big plays, who can get a stop or two, a crucial stop or two, who could defend, make a maybe even a big play on special teams as well. But that's going to be a very tough matchup for Central East. And I know their goal was to win state, right? That was their main goal this season. They knew what kind of a team they had. Beating Clovis 70-35 was just another step towards winning state. So 6 o'clock Central East at Pittsburgh. In D3A South, Kennedy High School, they're going to be facing Carson at Carson. The game is also at 6 o'clock. They got a really good run game. Do the Thunderbirds? We know all about that. So that Carson team is pretty good as well. So that's going to be a tough one for the Thunderbirds. In D5A South, Bishop Union, D5 champs, are going to be playing at Southgate. Game is also at 6. And then the Minarets game. We're going to have them just after the break. In D6A, in the North Division, they're playing Winters. They are 12-1. Minarets 13-1. That game is also at 6 o'clock. Winters has a dude. They got a stud player. He's a quarterback, 6'3", 190 pounds. He has passed for just over 2,000 yards, but he has also rushed for just under 2,000 yards. He could be one of these exclusive, extremely exclusive 2,000 yard guys. So that is going to be a really, really tough guy to stop for Minarets tonight. But knowing the coaching staff, they got a game plan. They got something cooking for those guys. So we're going to be hearing from them just after the break. All right, one last thing before we hit the break. On Monday morning, Coach Aaron Wilkins of Clovis High talked to his team, and he let them know that he was stepping down as the head coach. This is his fourth year. Remember, he came in when he named Deegan Rose the starter as a freshman. Was able to coach Deegan Rose for those 4 years, but kind of a shock to a lot of people. So Coach Aaron Wilkins has resigned from his director of sport position at Clovis High. Not sure what's next for him. There might be a couple names to take over. I know Coach Brandon Nagel, who coached at Clovis East, was on staff this year. That might be an easy slide in to be the head coach. He knows what it takes. He knows what to do as a head coach. He is a grad of the school. He's a Clovis alum. So that kind of makes sense. Big news. So Aaron Wilkins, no longer the head coach at Clovis High School. A couple questions, right? I know the Cars are in town, the Carr brothers. Just talked about Darren, Bakersfield Christian. Got a good thing going there, obviously. You know, Derek tweeted on December 3rd, so just 3 days ago, quote, somebody asked him about coaching, and he said, quote, great question, .. I am definitely interested in coaching at some level. What does that mean? I know he's been coaching his son in flag football in the Clovis area. So, I don't know. High school, Fresno State. Interesting. So, lots of stuff to think about, stuff to mention and get the juices flowing a little bit. So, yeah, there's a little bit of a wrap-up on last night's games, tonight's games, news and notes. But let's take a break now and bring in the Minarets football team. Actually, it's going to be Caden Larson, the wide receiver, and Torin Wolf, the quarterback. Torin was on the show last year, and Coach Shannon Pulliam. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back. Central Valley Sports Report. You're listening to it on 1430 ESPN. I forgot to mention, after all my blabbing in the first segment, that you can go back and listen to any shows on the 1430 ESPN website. We're also streaming this live on YouTube. So I got to do, people know YouTube, right? Everybody knows what YouTube is.
I believe so.
Right, my gosh. So just go there, open it up, search 1430ESPNFresno.com. Boom, click on the live, and then after the show, it will still be on there. So you can go back and listen.
Nice.
Cool deal.
Yeah.
All right, we got Minarets in the house. We got that purple, and are we calling it gold? Is it purple and gold? That's the color?
It's yeah.
Purple and gold.
Yeah, purple and gold.
Right?
I guess,
yeah. I like it. It stands out. And yeah. So we got Minarets in the house right now, Central Section D6 champs with that really good 21-14 win over a very tough Arosi game. Season's not over. They're playing tonight at 6 o'clock at home against Winters. Like I said, get there early, man, guys. Get there early. I don't think fog's in the forecast, is it, like last week?
Tonight, it's not.
Yes. Okay.
Yesterday, our practice, man, it was beautiful.
Goodness.
And then within 15 minutes, it turned fog.
Couldn't see anything.
So we're hoping, you know, it says in the forecast that it should be clear. So.
Okay. All right. Good for the people to know.
Yeah.
The people that are driving there. So if you didn't know, this Coach Shannon Pulliam, who's talking, he's used to this microphone. He's used to this setup as well. Yeah. He broadcasts Fresno City games with Scott Bemis. We got Torin Wolf and Caden Larson, a couple of seniors. Stud quarterback, stud wide receiver. All right, guys. So timeline today, we talked about it a little bit, right? It's a Saturday game. You know, last week was Thanksgiving. You know, you guys were in class. Like, what are you guys doing? I know, Coach, you're going to go get yourself a hearty breakfast,
yes,
hang out at the house a little bit, and meet the guys around 3:45. What are you guys, Torin? What are you doing for up until that time? You got to get to school. You're going to have a lot of juice going, I'm sure.
Yeah. I try to tone it down all day. I'll go to breakfast after this at the Mug. Best breakfast sandwich in the game. And then after that, I'll go home, probably take a nap, and then I'll wake up at like 3 and head up to the school. Just
okay.
Trying to keep myself like chill until game time.
I mean, are you kind of a nervous, anxious kind of guy anyway? I know like Fridays at school, game day on Fridays, you wake up, you're excited, you try to get through the day school-wise, right? So maybe you're zoning out a little bit, maybe thinking about some plays. But like, are you able to try to calm down a little bit, or are you anxious throughout the day on game day?
I do my best to calm down. I mean, I'm not really anxious as I am excited. Like, it's what I look forward to every week, playing on Fridays, this week Saturday. So just – like keeping myself mellow throughout the days.
All right,
good
call.
Word mellow,
mellow, mellow, and Torin. Does that go hand in hand? Not on the football field.
Oh, Caden's pretty mellow.
Oh, Caden.
<Yeah.
laughs> So, Caden, what's your timeline until you got to get to school at 3:45?
I'm definitely gonna go home and make my steak and eggs. I eat that every game day, and then after the steak and eggs, I'll probably throw on some football and I just watch that till 3, and I gotta go.
There's some good football games on today.
Yeah.
Right? Some really good college games, obviously. All right, so how do you cook your eggs? You scramble guy or you just
– Yeah, big scramble.
All right.
Yeah.
The big scramble?
Got
yep.
A scramble.
A lot of salt and pepper, cheese, or you just straight – just
straight,
scrambled
straight eggs and probably a New York steak.
York steak?
Yeah, with some pappies on the eggs.
Yeah. Yeah.
You cook that all yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh,
all yes. Right. Just like you like it. All right, good stuff. Like you mentioned, I'm curious about the temperatures, right? Last week was an awesome environment, first of all, to call a championship game, obviously, for you guys to win one as well. Like, cold, like, you guys like playing in the cold. What does that look like for you guys? Does it not matter? You guys are used to it?
You know, the last couple of weeks, it's gotten a lot colder. And usually it doesn't really get that bad, but it's dropped down into the 40s and the low 40s up there at practice, and it's chilly. I mean, we tell the kids that make sure you bundle up the ones that are kind of standing around, not the guys that are practicing as much, and especially during the games, put some little layers on because it's really cold. But the fog has been the kind of the pain in the
Yeah.
But a little bit. But, you know, hopefully everything will be all right tonight.
Well, from our perspective from last night, at the beginning of the game, we thought we were going to have some major issues because we literally could not see the Rossi sidelines and the corner of the end zone.
Yeah.
Right, so it was like, oh, well, there, we think there's some stuff happening over there. And then it would blow away and then kind of come back a little bit.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where on the field it wasn't bad at all. I mean, you could really see it was okay. It was a little haze in there.
Yeah.
But talking to some fans and some people up in the stands, it was like, man, we had a hard time seeing what numbers were on that side of the field or, you know, play going away, who it was or not.
Gripping the football, was that an issue or catching the football last week?
It wasn't bad last week. I mean, it was pretty dry up until, like, towards the end of the game. As long as we keep the ball off the ground, it doesn't get too bad. But as long as the ball's dry, I'm happy. So,
were you guys able to dry it? Or what did that – yeah, before every play, right? Got some towels?
Yeah, we had a towel on our center, and then we had some other towels. And the ball boys had a towel with them as they came off. Referees had them. They had them a couple weeks ago, too, when we had that little rain where they would keep it covered until time for snap. And then,
how about kicking the football?
I mean, it was going. So.
did it hurt?
No, it doesn't hurt.
Okay.
It's just I got to give Torin a little extra time to make sure he gets it down.
Never me. Never me.
All right.
Caden had to miss. He got invited to a big-time kicking what was it?
The National Kicking Showcase Camp. Yeah.
He got a private invite, and that was this weekend right now, right?
Oh, it's supposed to be?
Sixth to the seventh, yeah.
All right, you got to play in a state playoff game, I guess. Sorry, guys. All right, we'll put that on the back burner.
Yeah.
So tonight, let's talk a little more about tonight. We'll visit that Rossi game a little bit later. You guys got a tough opponent, right? When you saw the matchup, did you know anything about him before you started researching? Like, okay, Winters, I don't quite know where they are. Small school, I think.
Absolutely not. I haven't even heard of the school before until I researched it and looked up different things. But I didn't really know. You know, usually when you're a small school like us, they had no idea who we were.
Yeah.
Nothing at all.
They're probably like, O'Neill's California. Yeah. Is that like in the desert? Like, they probably had no idea.
Our Monday meeting up in Sacramento, the head coach is asking me, he goes, so, how many people are in O'Neill's? And our AD goes, well, it's one road, and there's about maybe 200 people, and if you take two of the families out, the Mattises and the Bigelows, there's about four people in O'Neill's.
And it's kind of the same
it's
for
true,
them.
Yeah.
Right, so Sacramento Bee came out with a really good article. Joe Davidson, fantastic writer down there, and talked about, you know, the small-knit community, and I think the coach is an alum of the school, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, yes.
And, so let's talk a little bit more about matchups because I heard they got a dude. They got a quarterback that you're going to have to key on as well. Just kind of your game plan for tonight. What are you expecting tonight, coach?
Yeah, everything pretty much runs through him. You know, he's a good-sized kid, about 6'3", about 185. Got good touch on the ball. He can throw it deep as well, but they run him. He's a runner, so he's gained over, you know.
Close to 2,000.
Close to 1,000 yards on the ground, and he's thrown for over 2,000 yards in the air. So he's a lot of their offense, for sure. He's got some role players that do a really good job that are tough kids that run the ball. Not real big. They're not a real big squad. Maybe five guys over 200 pounds and not real big size-wise and height-wise. So, but they're scrappy. They play really hard, and they're well coached, and they do some good things. You know, we've got to be able to corral him and keep him in the pen and not let him get loose. He's going to make some plays. He's that good of a player. But we've got to take care of him and keep him inside the pocket.
All right. So help me out, guys. Obviously, quarterback Torin, Caden, wide receiver. But you guys are playing a little defense as well. Or help me out. Caden. All right, so what have you seen on film defensively? Like, where are you going to line up? What have coaches told you about trying to contain this kid?
Well, we're going to be switching it up a lot in cover three, cover two. And, you know, I'm just keen on their motions. And they like to throw a lot of all verts, and we just got to stay on that.
Where are you going to – I don't want to give away game plans. What am I doing here in case they're listening? All right, so how much are you looking forward to hitting a little bit, right? That's kind of the thing with the cold, right? You're out there, you're warming up, maybe you're hitting a little bit, but then, right, the first couple of hits in a game with temperatures like this, like what's that like to get that first hit out of the way in cold temperatures? Like, okay, now I'm going, now I'm ready.
Yeah, it feels great. I mean, after the first hit, you're like, I felt that. It's not going to get worse than this. You know, I'm warming up now. I'm not going to get cold again. So that first hit is, I mean, yeah.
Torin, tonight, like what's offensive? Like what are you trying to do? Or, you know, I know you guys have put up a lot of points in the past. You guys got that grinded out win last week against Orosi. Kind of what's maybe some of the things you're trying to do on offense tonight?
I mean, it's definitely going to be an offensive game, just who performs better. We definitely want to keep the, like, long drives, keep the ball in our hands, and just execute. I mean, score when we need to score. Execute our plays in the red zone, and I think it'll go well for us.
Red zone's important, isn't it?
Very.
My gosh, turnover. God, I mean, we saw it with the Emmanuel game, right?
Yeah.
So you fumble on the 15-yard line on second down. So, you know, even if you don't even decide to kick a field, you're going to go up late. So, I mean, just turnovers, field position in playoff games are huge.
You got to take care of the ball. Yeah. You really do. And field position is a key. We do a really good job with our special teams and having a weapon like Caden who can really – he can, you know, touchbacks, a ton of touchbacks this year, and placing the ball at different places where we want to do it. And then our punt, we do a good job of covering our punts down there. So anytime you can keep guys inside the 20 on that side, the percentages of them taking the ball down and scoring on an 80-yard drive is a lot less –
yeah, sure.
Than it is on a short field.
That's right.
Yeah.
6-, 7-, 8-minute drives in high school are huge because remember 12-minute quarters, right? I mean, it's you can take chunks off the clock. You're putting a lot of pressure on the other side.
We had a 9.5-minute drive.
Yeah, it was like 15 plays.
Yeah.
19 plays. Who was that? Chowchilla. First drive of the game.
You know, it's only 12 minutes of the clock.
You're wearing those guys out.
It's 9.5 minutes. It's like they got one possession in the first quarter.
Okay, so tonight's game, 6 o'clock. You like people can go to. They got to go to GoFan. Like, are they allowing people at the gate?
Yeah, they could go on GoFan
and just do it right there.
Yeah, got it.
Okay, so I did not know what to expect. I know you. You kind of described it to me before what the atmosphere is like at home games. I know obviously last week was a championship game, so a lot of people. Game of the game, but just kind of describe for people out there what your stadium looks like, the seating. That kind of blew me away. I took a picture of that Christmas tree right before that. I thought that was pretty cool. So just kind of describe what if people go tonight, what they're seeing.
Well, our administration is really on top of this stuff right now. This is all uncharted territory for us, you know, hosting and winning a Valley Championship and going to these playoff games and stuff. So they have been on cloud nine and just running around making things up, and so they put that Christmas tree up there, and one of our assistant coaches built the stand for it. We got a lot of kind of mechanical and construction guys on our staff.
I would assume so.
Yeah. So it's kind of nice. So he built that, and then our stands, you know, we don't have bleachers per se as chairs or seats. It's levels of like cement, you know, kind of like you see at a tennis match.
Sure.
You know, those kind of, and so people bring their chairs and set their lawn chairs out and their easy ups and get covered up when it's hot or now when it's cold as well. And then on the visitor side, we do have the bleachers, but they're just the old, you know, the aluminum ones. And we brought in a couple extra for this game because there was Orosi was like their whole town was there last week.
Hour and 20-minute drive for them.
Yeah. And then another kind of a problem was bathrooms. We have just a male and a female, you know, bathroom up there, and well, we have, you know, accommodate so much. So we have portables that we brought in that are brought in for this game tonight.
Okay.
And then food, you know, we serve and we're doing poured pork and hamburgers and nachos and everything you could think of. And then we have some other side vendors that are in there as well. But it's a little different, you know. It's just a different stadium because it doesn't look like your typical football stadium. But it's very unique.
Yeah, it was great. Great experience last week.
Yeah.
When you guys won, all right, let me ask Caden first. When you guys won, when the final horn sounded, when you guys won Valley last week, Like, what did you do right away? You start jumping around. You find a teammate. Did you hug? Did you dogpile? What'd you do?
Oh yeah, I was getting hyped with all my teammates out there. I mean, it was a great feeling. I've been trying to get that for 4 years now, and I finally got that feeling. So it felt great.
How long did it last? Did it last a long time on the field? Did you finally have to whisk you guys away? Like,
no,
all right,
out there for a while.
We gotta go.
People taking pictures with the plaque.
Nice.
You know, and everybody separating around.
Nice.
And stuff, and then we usually do kind of stay out a little longer, and you know, families talk and stuff. So it extended.
You have further. To. You got to take it all in.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, right, Torin. What about for you? How'd you celebrate?
I think the first thing I did was find Caden, because I mean, we've been talking about this since sophomore year, and just like, this is what we've been throwing after practice for, working all of our butts off for. So
all the extra work finally paid off.
These guys were out after every practice. And then they recruited some other guys, but before it was just these two working on timing routes and in the end zone and stuff like that. And every day after practice, it was those guys out there. And then the other one started saying,
"Hey, let's get involved." Let's go back to that a little bit. So Toronto, you know, you transferred from Buchanan, so your sophomore year, played for Minarets. Like, when did you first meet Caden? Did you know about him before? You're like, hey, you're in my class. You look like you can catch a football. Maybe you're fast. I don't know. Like, when did you guys first
meet up? Out there during summer, like summer workouts. And the first time that I met him, I was like, we were huddled up talking after practice. And I turn around and he's just staring at me wide eyed.
Is he like, who is this guy here?
Yeah. And I like look and I start laughing. And then I like look away and look back and he's still looking at me. So I was like, who is this kid? And then, I mean, got to know him, and he's kind of cool, I guess.
Kind of cool. Kind of fast.
Well, you know, he
could catch a ball every once in a while.
Yeah. He never played football.
Until what, that year? Oh, to a freshman year?
He's a soccer guy. And he came out and wants to play football, and he's been a four-year starter since his freshman year.
Were you always – how tall are you right now? Are you like
– 6'2".
Yeah. All right, so good size, right? Good size for a wide receiver. Uh-huh. Were you like freshman year? Were you small? You're like, I don't know about this football thing. Why didn't you not play until then?
Yeah, well, before I lived in Napa, so there was just – I grew up with all soccer, and then we moved up here, and there's no soccer where I live. So I had to switch to something, and, you know, I chose football, and I was like, what, 6'1", 135, maybe 130?
Yeah.
And ended up starting and playing. But, yeah, I mean – From the first play, like, I was like, I'm in love.
You were hooked.
Yeah.
You were hooked. You're all in. What about the synergy? How has your friendship, like, helped on the football field? Maybe there, you guys have a signal, you know, top of the head, go deep, or anything like that?
Yeah, we have a bunch. I think the entire route tree could be if he ever doesn't know what he's doing, or if I don't know what he's doing, we find a way to let the other person know.
Very well.
Best. All right. So, what's the best play that you guys have executed in your careers together?
I think last year when we played in playoffs against Boron, he was playing a different position than he normally did. So, or like, I think he was at the Z instead of the X, and so he wasn't sure what he was doing. And he walks out there and was like looking at me, and I could tell that he was like confused.
That's when the street ball takes effect, right?
And then
get open.
And then I signaled to him, and then he got open and scored I think it was like a 48-yard touchdown or something like that, and it was kind of cool.
Who did most of the work on that play, though? You throwing the ball or him catching it?
I mean, I did signal it to him. So.
Yeah, there you go. You're the brains behind the play. Caden, I know what you guys had the one touchdown last week in the championship game, right? Was that the second touchdown? Yeah. Is there a play that sticks out to you in your career? Maybe that one, or?
I mean, yeah. Last week's was. I mean, it's in the championship game, so like it means a lot. So yeah, that's probably the play for me. And then my pick too.
Diving into
the end zone.
That's right.
All week in practice, I would throw that ball to him, and I knew he was going to be open because they were running man, and they can't run with a man. It was like a short little crosser. And I told him if he gets tackled by the first person that he runs into, I'm going to be mad.
That's right. So I had to break that down.
Exactly. Do you guys get mad at the competition? You guys ever like scream at each other on the field, or just like, come on, man, more like that, or like?
Not screamed, but we have gotten heated. I mean, that happens every
Definitely in so practice, often. Too.
Oh,
it,
yeah.
It gets competitive in practice because I'm on defense and he's on scout O.
Oh,
so.
They talk.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. It gets going. It's good stuff, though. It's really good, the competition.
Who is faster, though? Let's settle it right now on the 40.
I'm faster. He can take that one, but I know he doesn't want to see me in Oklahoma.
I got to be honest, Torin. Like, you ran the ball really hard. There were a couple times I'm like, I don't know if that one extra yard, putting your head down and you know, going into an Orosi defender, I don't know if it's worth it sometimes. Do you feel like that, coach, like, all right, you know, was it Jackson Dart, right? That's the book on him. Yeah. Like, is the 1 yard really worth it?
Well, our OC is his brother, and, you know, he wants his brother to do well and stuff. And there's been times in games where I'm saying, okay, Keenan, enough. We don't need to run, you know.
Yeah.
But he goes, Coach, I'm calling this play, but it's RPO, so he's doing whatever he wants to do. And I said, well, you know, we got one quarterback.
That's right.
So we got to take care of him.
But you're an athlete. You're a football player first, right? Yeah, so whatever it takes. All right, I get it. I'm just getting on you a little bit. What was, like, the next week at school like, right, this last week? Obviously, you're preparing for the state playoff game tonight. But, like, what was kind of the mood on campus? Maybe you had a cool little exchange with, I don't know, a teacher or somebody. Like, what was practice or school like the next week?
It was really cool. There were kids that I had like, one or two conversations with in my entire time up there. They were walking up to me, and they were like, hey, congrats, bro. I was at the game. That was super cool seeing you guys do that. And then at lunch, our admin brought out a big old,
you know, the digital screen that we had.
Yeah, they. You
that's,
got it.
Yeah, it's been out there for the last 2 days at school on our campus. We're in the process of, I think, purchasing that as our scoreboard and stuff. So it was out there for 2 days at lunchtime, and they played all the memes, all the reels, all the pictures, and everything on that, with music going, all the music going, and then they did some giveaways. They have a big wheel, that digital wheel.
Yeah.
It has every kid's name on it. So they'd spin the wheel, and then they'd give out different little cups and blankets and stuff like that, and the music, and our administration gets a little, they get a little crazy.
Got to celebrate, man. First football title. Let's go ahead. Help me out. Just really quick. So I got put on the spot a little bit on air.
Yeah.
Phil Benatti did this. He's like, okay, is this the first Central Section championship in Minaret's history? And I'm thinking, I thought volleyball, volleyball, right? It's had some really good teams.
Volleyball has won three or four.
Okay.
All right.
I was good on that one.
And baseball has won one.
Baseball got one.
They got one.
Got it.
Yeah. And that was when our current baseball coach, Jesse Dara, was coaching. And then he left and stepped away for a while. He's back now. But that he won that one when he was here, and then Kara Zamora was the volleyball coach when they were when they were doing some real good things. But other than that, those are the only two other sports.
Yeah. Got it. Coach, I want to ask you, like, what was, like, the greatest compliment or feedback you heard personally? Maybe something about the community, what it means. Like, what was something neat that you heard from people?
I'm not good at talking about myself or this and that, but it's not just me. Our staff is tremendous, and we've done a great job putting these kids in position to win. But hearing the community go, we weren't anything without you being here, without me. And I said, well, I just came in and just kind of set the tone, and everybody else kind of jumped in. And then if these guys don't buy in, we don't have anything. But these guys have bought in. These kids have put the work in and the time. Our last off season, and I say this quite a lot, but in the summer was tremendous. We got so much bigger and stronger. And I want to say probably the best compliment throughout the whole year is by one of the assistant coaches at Chowchilla, Mike Parsons, who used to be
been around a lot of football.
And I've known Mike quite a long time. And Mike, after the game, was just very complimentary about, you know, winning the game against them, because we hadn't beat Chowchilla ever. And then I got a couple texts from him a couple days later, and he said, it's just watching film, it's just a big difference how more physical and stronger your kids were in the game than they were last year. And I said, well, that's just a testament to the kids showing up at 6 o'clock in the morning and working their tails off in the weight room and just putting the work in and buying in. And, you know, like I said, we as a coaching staff, we put them in a position to have success.
Whether and they execute
whether
it.
Whether they grab it or execute it, it's up to them. And that's probably was one of the bigger compliments, that we just got more physical and tougher.
So, Kaden and Torin, just what was that like for you guys? Senior year coming in, obviously last year didn't end like you had hoped. Did you guys have like some private like meetings with the guys, or just like, hey, guys, we're going all in this year. Nobody's going to stop us. We're going to put the work in. We're going to just, you know, to steal a phrase, we're going to leave it all on the field. We're going to give everything we got. Was that kind of the mentality in the summer, or how did you guys frame that?
Yeah, I think everyone was on the same page with just knowing, like, this, like, you don't get opportunities to go to Central Section Champions, like, every year. So this is going to be our year that we win one. Yeah. And we got it done, so now we're moving on to states.
Yeah. Was there any moment during the year, you know, football season, along, now that you look back, you're like, okay, it went by quick, but football season can be a long period, right? The dog days of summer and all that. Was there any point during the season you thought, man, I don't know, like maybe a little doubt? I mean, just be honest, like, oh, man, we're going through I know you only lost that one game, the Liberty Madera, right? 35-10, I believe.
Yep.
After that game, maybe did you guys see, I don't know, maybe we're not as good as we think. Oh, we tried hard, couldn't beat these guys. Was there anything like that, or are you guys full confident the whole way?
I think we're pretty confident the whole way. I mean, like, we're seniors. It's like everybody wants to win, but, like, since we're seniors, we have to win. Like, I don't want to stop playing football. We're playing to keep playing, and I think when we're playing to keep playing, it's like we're playing with a different mentality.
With a purpose.
Yeah,
like
with
a straight purpose.
Yeah.
What about for you, Torin? How about after that game? Like, what was kind of the mood?
I think after that game, everyone on the team was, especially me, was more, like, fired up to, like, go hard at practice. I mean, we were working our butts off throughout the season, too, but I think it was, like, a wake-up call. Like, not every team's just going to bow down and let us, like, take a win. Like, we need to work for it. And I think that loss helped us do what we did last week and what we're still doing.
Sometimes those kind of games, are those losses that you have kind of mid-season or something like that, do reflect on how the rest of your season is going to go. You're either going to rise above and let's go win it, or maybe, like you were saying, maybe we're not as good and we're playing another tough team. Another right after that was Chowchilla, who we had never beaten before, and so I think it's a testament to them to saying, you're right, we're not done yet.
100%.
And and then also these kids, you know, we had a chip on our shoulder from last year. You know, we went all the way to the semifinal, and we should have won that football game, and we should have been in back. This should be back-to-back Valley Championships for us. But we didn't get it done. You know, we lost that last field goal on 1 second and 1 point, and I think that just burned in their bellies for a long time. And I kept reiterating that, don't let that feeling go away, you know, and because we should have been there, and so we played with a little bit of a chip on our shoulder.
And when you said that, both these guys shook their heads when you said that loss, right? Yeah. It still hurts, right?
Yes.
But the getting those rings. Right, you guys, after winning D6 this year, you guys have an idea of what the ring is going to look like? Because that's a huge thing now, Coach,
well,
right? You got to design
these.
I know your daughter's got, what, four of them from Clovis West girls basketball.
They got them all over, right? All over our house. The kids, they're all over the place. The Central Section champion hats. I got four of those sitting over here. But they're not mine. It's my daughter's.
You got your own now.
Yes, yeah, you know. We had two companies. One company, the Monday after the game, we got this box sent to us with a ring and all the
like
sizing.
Like a mock-up kind of thing?
Oh, yeah. Not with our logo on it. It was just a ring. But, I mean, my phone has been blowing up with different companies. So, congratulations, Coach, on your win and this and that. I bet you're looking at the ring. Well, right now we're not really kind of looking at it because we feel we have two more games to win.
Yeah.
And then instead of just having a Valley Championship ring, we're going to have a Valley Championship with a state and all that stuff on. So we're holding off.
All right. I like it. Yeah. I like it. All right. We got another minute with the guys. All right. So favorite football players really quick. Again, we only got another minute. So, like, who do you idolize, or who, Kaden, who do you try to emulate on the football field? Larry Fitzgerald. Yeah, a little bit of old school.
Oh,
all right.
Nice. Doesn't drop a ball.
Yeah, that's right. What, the crazy stat, what was it? Like
more tackles than he has dropped. Yeah.
God, you guys are on it. All right. Torin, what about for you?
Big Matthew Stafford guy.
All right.
Watching his highlights, how he like uses his eyes to move defenders. That's really cool.
You've done that, haven't you?
It's hard for him because he's a Seahawk fan.
Yeah. I think a little old look away, right? Yeah. Look away past or sidearm a little bit.
Crazy. He's one of the most underrated. Like his arm talent is underrated, and just like what he does for his teams is.
Getting out of Detroit helped.
Yeah.
Getting out of Detroit.
Yep. I'm a Ram fan, so.
Well, there you go. Plus. McVay doesn't hurt either. Yeah. All right. I'm only giving you 20 seconds, Coach. Okay. Who's your guy?
All time?
Sure.
I was a big, big Dick Butkus fan. I played inside linebacker, and I just loved the way that guy played and his intensity and the way he just ran around and the way he tackled people, not just tackle them, but tackled them all the way into the ground.
Drove them into the ground.
I mean, it was just – and I remember one highlight, he picked the ball, turned, and didn't turn and run with it, and turned to the receiver and pointed the ball at the receiver after he made the pitch. Just that mentality.
And of course, only you would go 45 seconds when I only gave you 20. Only Coach Billion. All right, good stuff.
Well, hey, talk a lot.
Hey, you guys did great. Hey, fun watching you last week. Good luck tonight, 6:00. Minarets is taking on Winters. It could be a really good football game. I'll be watching it on my phone. So hey, good luck tonight. A lot of fun.
Thank you, Paul.
You bet.
Appreciate
you bet.
Thank you.
All right, we will take a break. We're gonna be talking some basketball. We got Paul Hernandez on the show. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Well, welcome to hour number two, the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters. Live here at First String Sports, and I think just today, I'm again reminded just how neat of an experience it is for these high school kids to not only have the privilege of playing high school sports, but winning and losing, right? Losing, if you frame it sometimes, it's a privilege, right? The Minarets football guys are talking about their one loss this year so far. They're playing tonight. Was to Liberty Madera and how they, right, sees it more as an opportunity. They didn't get down. They're like, hey, all right, we got beat. That makes us hungry for more. So it's just an amazing experience, the high school experience of playing sports. And I hope nobody ever takes advantage of it. And, you know, obviously there's things out there that we don't agree with and there's things that are unfair and whatnot, but man, there's something special about that high school period of time of playing sports and the bonds that are created as well. We got a couple really good guests lined up for hour number two. Phil Bonanni is going to come on around 11:35-ish. We're going to be wrapping up our part of the football season and moving on to basketball. Those guys did such a good job, the Minarets guys. I'm like, I'm going to keep them on for another segment. That's why it flowed. I think we're on for 35 minutes. So I got some college signees that I'm going to go over with Phil Bonanni. Save that for them. But it's time to talk basketball. And one of my first guys I always love to chat with on air regarding basketball is Paul Hernandez. He is a must-follow on the X, the Twitter sphere, at P_33. He does a great job with boys high school basketball's rankings and players and all that good stuff. So Paul is actually in town right now. He's not with me, next to me, maybe next year at First String Sports. He's actually on the campus of Clovis North High School, I believe, right now. Is that where you're all, Paul? How you doing, my friend?
Hey, Paul. How's it going, man? Yes, I am. Can you hear me okay?
I got you. Maybe a little bit louder. I could turn you up over here.
Okay, yeah. They're warming up for a game, so the basketball has started to bounce. But yeah, I'm over here at Clovis North. They have their Valley Children's Hospital, kind of like an Elite Eight tournament they do every year. Today's championship Saturday, so I wanted to come check out some games here. But it's been good, man. How have you been?
Been great. Been great. So I was able to check out Clovis West girls last night. They are absolutely on a roll, as always. They're playing this team from Florida tonight who really put it on the Clovis High girls last night. So tonight, I mean, so much good stuff happening today in the high school ranks, obviously in college football as well. So, yeah, I was able to check that out. But I in the Clovis West boys tournament is going to be next week that we're going to broadcast a game from. Yeah. So, yeah, excited about basketball. Excited about being indoors. Let me put it that way, right? Just braving some of the coldness cold. In football, right? I'm ready to get indoors in the controlled temperature, as I like to call it. All right, so tonight's championship game is Clovis North and Lincoln of Stockton. Am I right on that? Tonight at 6?
Yes, correct. Yes, that'll be 4:30. 4:30, that's the game time for that.
4:30. Got it. All right. So what are you expecting in that one? I wasn't sure where to bring this up in the show, but Lincoln of Stockton's roster, a couple guys look pretty familiar. So I'll set you up there. And so run with that as you will.
Some familiar faces. Yeah. So Clovis North, they beat Santa Barbara last night in the semifinals. Lincoln beat Bullard. So they'll play tonight. Lincoln's got a really good style of play. They were in the state championship game last year. They do. They have so Tristan Beechler and Asher Thompson, who were previously at Clovis East, have both transferred there. I don't know. I'm assuming they're both on probably a 30-day kit. I was talking to Tony Amundson, Clovis North's coach, just a little bit ago before this call, and he said they were both on the sideline. So it sounds like a 30-day sit out for the two of them. But, yeah, that's definitely a departure from Clovis East, and it's, you know, just real quick, it's kind of crazy because I remember when the 2026 class, the current senior class, started, and they were in, they were, that class that came in was so powerful, and this was to be the year that Clovis East was looking at to compete for a section championship. Daylon Felder, you know, Liddell Farmer, Asher Thompson, Tristan, Aiden Beechler, like, so, and to see how that's, like, pretty much not really in existence is really been a shift, and you had mentioned something in kind of the previous kind of notes leading up to this is kind of the section maybe down a little bit. And I think some of the departure of some of these kids out leaving the section is contributing to that. So I hated to see both of them go because I enjoy watching both of them. I have both of them in my top five for their respective classes. So that's two, you know, key prospects leaving. But, yeah, they're both with Lincoln and Stockton, but they're not sitting up for game time, so they won't be actually playing.
Got it. All right. So Clovis North, we're gonna be talking about your top. Let's just go ahead and get into it. All right. Let's do it. Yeah. I love to talk rankings with you. You do a fantastic job with the rankings. Let's start with your number five team. We'll go 5-4-3-2-1 and just give us a little bit of an info about each team, and then we'll go 6 through 10 and some other schools.
So I'll just be honest. Three through five could go in any order. They're kind of the second tier from what I've seen so far. I have Clovis North at number five. They could easily be four. They could easily be three. They have, you know, they played a tough schedule out the gate. They lost the game to Clayton Valley Charter last week at the Bishop O'Dowd event. They lost the opener at the Clovis tip-off to Sheldon, who's a really good team as well. They beat Doherty Valley, so and then they're having a good run here. They're led by their two seniors, McKay Amundson, and Elias Gish. The depth of their star power is not what it's been the last couple of years, you know. But they still, you know, Sony's going to execute. He's going to do what they do. They play a tough preseason schedule to prepare them for the track league and for the playoffs. So I have them right now at number five. I just think the lack of real depth and interior size keeps them out of like the top two spot. But again, they can easily be three or four right now. So I really like them as a five seed.
Really, really quick. I'll chime in whenever something pops into my head here, Paul. Like McKay, right? It seems like, you know, I remember watching McKay when he was just a little guy doing those dribbling drills, and now he's got a Division I offer that I believe he's going to sign with. He's has to step up his scoring a little bit more this year, right? As the past couple of years, really taking that role on.
Yeah, him and Elias are going to be heavily relied upon, and then like you. Jalen Montgomery, but then after that, it gets again as far as experienced guys at that varsity level. it kind of drops off a little bit after that. So, you know, they're relying on more role guys this year. And so I think a much more team approach is going to be how they have success. And it's similar for who I have at number four. So it kind of segues us to there. I have right now at number four, I have Bakersfield Christian. Again, they've kind of, they remind me of like Clovis West last year. They started out, they've played three of the top 15 teams in the state. They opened up with Corona Centennial. They opened, then they played Santa Margarita, who's a top, they're predicted to win the Mission League, or sorry, the Trinity League this year. They're loaded. They got three Division One signs. So they lost that one pretty heavily. And then they also played Crespi, and Crespi gave it to them pretty well. Also, they're from Encino. Just really three, again, really loaded Division One, open division caliber teams. And so BCHS is taking some losses. I think they're 2-4 right now. But they got a great lineup. They don't have the senior firepower they've had. Their star power all comes in the starting five, which is juniors and sophomores. They got the big boy, Ty Woe. He's really developing. Great interior presence. Probably one of the best rim protectors in the section, if not the state. So I like that. Jeremiah Skillabrew, 6'5 wing. Braylon Smith is their sophomore guard. He's really good. Katie Jackson. But the one thing I have noticed with BCHS, I've seen it a few times already, is section-wise, I think they are in that second tier of teams. They've got the pieces, but they lack the seniors, you know, veteran leadership, and lack having a true score to go to, like a who they had last year, Gabe Gutierrez.
And so yeah, Gabe Gutierrez.
That's going to be tough for them because Gutierrez is one of those go-to guys, you know, and so that hurts them. But I have them number four right now. Again, they just had a tough start out the gate. They play Harvard Westlake next week, so it's not getting any easier for them. but, you know, that's what they want to do. They want to play those games. They want to make sure that they're ready for the playoffs, and I appreciate and I applaud that. So they got music going on here. Paul, are you able to hear me okay still?
Yeah, we're good. Yep. A little bit of a feedback, but I think we're good.
Okay. And then at number three, I have Buchanan. Buchanan is, they got a lot of size. They have a lot of depth. The one thing they don't have is Connor Sheets, who was huge for them last year. And so, you know, who's going to replace that scoring? For me, I'm really high, and you had mentioned, you know, kind of some new guys popping on the scene this year. Reed Sweeney is a guy to just keep an eye out for. 6'4 sophomore, combo guard, lights out shooter. He's been the main guy for them so far. But again, you know, Buchanan has a lot of depth, a lot of size. They're really physical, upper class. They just, again, how are they going to create those points this year when they don't have a go-to guy like Connor? And not even just Connor Sheets. That stat was really good for them last year, too. And so, you know, again, a little bit younger of the kind of leadership, but I like their depth. I like their size. They don't have the most rigorous schedule, so I see they're going to stack some, probably some wins. They're playing over in the, I think, Slow High and Tascadero tournament this week, and I imagine they're probably going defeated there. So I like those as kind of like that second tier of top five. I kind of have them in a tier by themselves. And then anything you want to add before I jump into the top two?
Well, yeah, you know, obviously two really good coaches. Talk about Tom Ulrich for Buchanan.
Yeah.
And, you know, and obviously Garrett Brown, that guy absolutely gets after it for Bakersfield Christian. And I think about that, and maybe we'll get to it later, just about, you know, I thought about, like, last year, there were a lot of players where a coach could say, okay, Connor, go get me a bucket. Okay, Gabe, get me a bucket. And, the lack of the ability for some of these teams to be able to do that, right, it's going to make some things difficult. So you got to figure out a way. But those are two, you know, of course, and of course, Tony, right, Admonson at Clovis North, just three really good coaches.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think what you're going to see from those teams that have success this year, it's going to come by committee. And when I've seen BCHS have success this year, it's their all five starters scoring around 10 points or more. You know what I mean? Like, they're getting a contribution for everybody. Same thing with Buchanan. So it is a little bit different. And then the 1 and 2 seed, it's kind of, you know, St. Joe's I have at the top. I have San Joaquin Memorial at number 2. I I think those two right now are kind of in a category by themselves. San Joaquin Memorial, you know, they got Parker Steeves, 6'9 senior, UC Irvine commit. He's playing really, really well. Ty Schott has really stepped his game up as a junior. They have a great sophomore. I have him as a top sophomore in the section right now. And Domo Oliver Wanju, Julius' little brother from last year, like, he's playing great. And then they've got a freshman that's really impressive, Jaden Johnson. Him and Jackson Silverstrom together are just a really tough pressure defense, perimeter defense. And so I really like what they got. They got some big wins over the summer and the fall. They beat Sunny Slope from Arizona, who's one of the top 20 teams in the country. And so, you know, they've had some impressive wins. I think the thing is, on paper, they don't look as talented or as good as they've been in the past. But I've talked to Roz quite a few times, and just watching how they play, you see like a really good team. You know what I mean? They're all buying in. They all know their roles. Nobody's kind of fighting for power. It's pretty clear who the top five or six guys are. So it doesn't seem to be a lot of confrontation, and all the pieces fit well. And then at number one, I got St. Joe's. They're just, yeah, they lost Tunde. Again, you're talking about losing a score, you know, that you can give the ball to and just give me a bucket. But, man, they still have, in my opinion, the best player in the section in Julius Price. And his little brother's not far behind him right now. Malcolm Price has been putting up a lot of points. They've got a
God, how many little brothers are there? How many little Price brothers are there? Do you just keep coming?
There's just two. Yeah,
oh, just the two. All right.
Yeah. It feels like they've been coming because they've been there forever. And then they've got the bigs. You know what I mean? They've got the sophomore, William Supray, 6'8". Godson, 6'9". The senior, Abdul, 6'9". They have a freshman who I really like a lot. His name's Bernardo Geronimo, 6'4". Kind of, you know, wings. He'll be a role player, but Tom is really high on him. Tom Mott sees him as kind of the future of the program. And so they have the depth, the size. The cool thing with those two teams is they've played each other twice in the last 6 months. So they played each other at Cali Live's Scholastic Period in June. St. Joe's beat them by about 7 or 8. And then they played at Clovis West Fall event in September. And San Joaquin got the best of them there. So, you know, they've kind of traded blow for blow. I think St. Joe's has more depth, which is why I have them a little bit higher. And I think just a little bit the talent and prospect. But from what I've seen from San Joaquin, man, they look good. They're moving the ball. They beat VHS pretty easily. They played North Bakersfield, which obviously is a Division III team, but a multiple back-to-back section championship, handled them by 20. They're winning the games they should win, and they're winning them handily. So they're going to be in the Clovis West tournament next weekend, so I'm good, looking forward to seeing them play some of those teams. They got a really tough schedule this year, too. So that's my top five, and those I kind of have, again, the top two, and then the next three. So that's my top five.
All right, good stuff. So looking at San Joaquin Memorial's schedule, they'll settle it on the court, obviously. You know, a lot of basketball to be played. But on January 17th, on a Saturday, San Joaquin Memorial is traveling to St. Joseph's. So maybe a road trip. It's a 5 o'clock game. So, yeah, do a show and then drive to the coast, watch the game, and then come back.
I've got circled with a question mark for sure on that one.
I want to go back to San Joaquin Memorial a little bit here, Paul, talking with Paul Hernandez. I got to watch them, you know, when they retired Jalen Green's jersey, and that was the Bakersfield game, and I actually got to go to their practice beforehand, and that's actually the first practice that I've gone to for Memorial. And you know, Roz is one of the great coaches, but one of the great guys, right, that you'll be able to talk to. He's very approachable. He's like, hey Paul, of course you could come to practice. And you know what, I saw a tight-knit group. Obviously they got a state championship, they got, you know, just the pedigree and all that, but there's something a little different, right? They didn't, you know, you talk about the eyeball test, right? The layup line and whatnot. Like, it wasn't super impressive, I'll be honest. But I just saw a practice, and then later the next night, a team that liked each other, that looked for each other, that their eyes were up on every play, that played great team defense. Like, hey, okay, I know, you know, if I could force this guy baseline, I know Parker Spees is going to be there to block a shot. Or I know if I box this guy out, then this guy will be able to grab the rebound. That's kind of what I felt with Memorial. Again, they've had more talent, I guess, in the past, but this year's team just kind of looks a little bit different in a good way.
You know, I got a chance to stay at the same hotel with him at the Cali Live event back in June. And just the camaraderie amongst those guys was so genuine. You know what I mean? It wasn't like fake teammates, and they had a blast in the hotel room, you know, going out, just being teenagers. But then when it was game time, like, you just see the balls moving well. And they had, again, they all really enjoyed playing together. And that's a unique blend to have when you have talent, but also guys that enjoy playing together. They're okay sharing the ball. And it starts with their star players. I mean, Parker Steve has been that guy since his freshman year. Every year he's taken on a more, you know, dominant role, more of a role. He's expanded his game and, you know, again, extremely high GPA, high academic student. You know, that he kind of sets the tone. Ty Shaw's another one. Like, and I think it allows, again, everyone's kind of got a role to play and it just fits. The pieces fit. And when the pieces fit and they get along and you've got talent, like that's why I think, you know, I have them at two, but I am tempted sometimes to kind of put them at one. Why not? You know, they're going to play each other, you know, so it'll get settled on the court. But, yeah, they are fun to watch. So do you want to jump into that kind of next group?
I'd love to. So, yeah, again, you guys can go check them out. That Clovis West Nike Invitational is going to be happening next week, man. That's one of those deals where I show up, I sit in the corner. Yeah, where's Paul? Well, he's the guy with the spaghetti all over his face, sitting in the corner for the last 3 hours eating all their food. So that's kind of me, and I'll watch a little basketball. Just kidding. But, yeah, so next week, that's going to be a really good tournament, so make sure you guys check that out. All right, yeah, so give me some, you know, some teams to watch, maybe some 6 through 10s that might make a little bit noise.
Yeah, so like I said, I got kind of two tiers at the top, and then after that, it gets really convoluted really fast. I mean, you have, like, VHS. I had at the beginning of the season at number 6. They haven't won a game yet, but they played a really tough schedule. They played Clovis West. They played San Joaquin. They've played right now they're down in the Rice-Williams, I believe, tournament down in SoCal. So they're playing a pretty heavy schedule up the gate. But there's some games they could have won. I mean, they were winning the Clovis West game. But, you know, they're getting R.J. Sheehy back from the football field. They lost in the section championship game, so having him back and kind of control things. So I have VHS in the mix there. You know, Bullard is another interesting one. I'm going to see them today. Obviously, with the departure of Jalen Felder and Sean Smith-Sharkey, it's really Javance is kind of the senior, and they have some really good young pieces, but you're asking a lot of those young pieces right away. You know what I'm saying? And they're going to have to contribute. Yeah. But kind of Bullard's in that mix. I got Clovis High. I had them ranked number 6 in my most recent rankings, and they got beat by 20 by Atascadero the other night. You know, again, on paper, they look like one of the most talented teams in the section, but there's a lot of young guys, new pieces you're putting together. Sayer Harbin coming over from Central East. Anthony Smith is one of the most dynamic players in the section, regardless of grade, you know, but he's only a sophomore. Damon Jackson, they have one of the most impressive freshmen in Roman Felix. They've got all the pieces that look good, but again, they're young, new pieces sitting together, so they're kind of going to be an up-and-down team. You know, Clovis West, again, I know they're without Jace right now and Spencer Cubitt. They've got some great young pieces. Jamel Castro, I really like his game, the 6'5 freshman. I like Hunter Bradford, the 6'5 or so sophomore. You know, they've got some really good young guards, some good young pieces, but again, they're going to all have to grow up really quickly. So not the Clovis West, but I think they're used to seeing.
Hey, Paul, help me out really quick. Yeah. Help me out real quick. I didn't know this. For the listeners out there, so you said that Jace has been injured. He hasn't been playing?
Yeah, so apparently he has a shoulder injury. So he's out right now, maybe till the start of league, possibly. And then Spencer Cubitt got a really bad concussion, and so just kind of trying to bounce back from that, you know what I mean? So, without Jace, I mean, that's, you know, senior year, he's kind of the guy that's going to carry him. So, and they've had a few players kind of depart from their program as well. So, just kind of a lot of up and down stuff going on with some of these schools. And so, you know, so that's tough too. And then the other school that I really like right now, and I know this is kind of dear to your heart, is Kingsburg. Kingsburg looks good.
And I know where you're going with this. Because they got a 6'7" kid that decided – who has a million-dollar arm that decided to play basketball this year.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is I remember talking to him as a sophomore, and, you know, the hype was already there, all this stuff as far as him being a top prospect, maybe a draft pick prospect. And I said, hey, like, if all this plays out, are you going to play your senior year? And he's like, yeah, I love basketball, and it's the last time I'm going to get to play competitive basketball, so why would I not? And I'm like, hey, and so to see him doing it, but also to see what he brings to teamwork is huge, because he said 6'7". I don't know if you've seen him recently, but he looks like a Division I future prospect in the major league. He looks strong, big right now. And so, you know, again, you add him, they've got some good pieces that fit with that. Alex Hampton, I really like. But they've got a freshman that's special, man. Point guard, Isaiah Perez. And that kid is really special. So I like them. They beat Clovis West already.
They did. They beat Clovis West, yep.
Yeah, at that classic tip-off. They've got a decent schedule where I think they can kind of compile some wins. And so I like them a lot. And then Justin Garz is another one. I really like the sophomore, Josiah Wilson. He's a stud. He's having a great start. They've had some good wins. The team, though, that I think right now is really making a lot of noise in South Bakersfield. I think they're 7-0 right now. And so they're looking good. They're a base Division III team. But from what I'm looking at, Paul, there is a lot of parity outside of those top two tiers. And once you get to that 6 seed and 20, like 6 through 20, if I'm being honest, there's a lot of parity. And if South keeps winning and it ends up in that top 25 percentile, they could get bumped up to Division II. And I don't think they want to, but they're good. They're really good. They're senior and junior heavy. Their top two players, the seniors, they've been great, averaging about 24 apiece, you know, so they're clicking on all cylinders. I saw them against Roosevelt of Fresno. They beat them by 30-something. I saw them against Ridgeview of Bakersfield. Again, not two great teams, but beating them by 30, which is what they're supposed to do. So, you know, that's kind of what you want to see. So that's kind of where it's at. There's a real cluster of teams. Once you get to number 6 and below, and I don't know how that's going to look in the playoffs this year. You know, when you start talking about the Division I playoffs, I'm like, you might
wow.
have 15.
Yeah, that's
really. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're going to have to think about that a little bit more and see how some of these things flesh out. Yeah, Division I, that's going to be an interesting bracket, and see some of these teams rise up. We've got another couple of minutes here with you, Paul. Again, thanks okay. for joining us. I know you got some fun basketball that you're going to be watching for the rest of the day. Hey, who are some young guns? So I was talking to somebody the other day, like, yeah, all right, basketball may be a little bit down this year, whatever that means, but there is going to be a pretty good crop of young guns in the Clovis, Fresno area. They're going to be coming up. Are there some names to keep an eye on?
Yeah, so at Bullard, they got Kingsley Fly, freshman. His dad's been coaching, obviously, for a long time, was coaching at Lemoore for a period. He's 6'5", freshman, really, really hardy impact guy. And then they also have a guard, Cyan Wary, 5'11", really, really good. So those are the two freshmen from Bullard that I think, you know, moving down the lane, they're already going to be impact guys, and I think to be really good. Clovis West, like I said, they got Casper with 6'5", freshman, pretty athletic, pretty does a lot of things to impact the game, so he's another one to kind of keep an eye on. Clovis High has obviously Anthony Smith, and they're really, really like impressive prospects. He's got some really good showings. He played on Jalen Green Elite team with Kristen Buechler. He's just kind of taking that next step as a sophomore. But they also got a freshman at Clovis, 6'6", Roman Felix, who, again, a lot of potential, can shoot the three, kind of a multiple inside-out impact guy. So I like those kind of – those kids have been the real standouts. Like I said, Josiah Wilson from Garza as a sophomore is another kid that I just has been putting up really good numbers to start the year. I think off the top, who will. Like I said, the freshman at Kingsburg, I like a lot. He had 28 the other night against Justin Garza in a loss, but had a great game. He could shoot the three really well. And then you look at, like, you know, Memorial. I really like, they have a freshman named Jaden Johnson. He's, you know, getting significant minutes. As good as San Joaquin is, the depth is not really there, you know what I mean? And so as a freshman, he's coming to be an impact guy right away. And he's impacting a lot. And then I really like Dom Oluwanju. He's just, you know, plays both sides of the ball really well. He's not as offensively polished as his brother was at this stage, but I think he's a better two-way player, good defender, 6'5". He can guard bigger players. Those are some of the names I think they're going to be impact guys even this year. Not necessarily looking forward, but impact, you know, underclassmen that I think are going to be really impressive. You know, Bakersfield Christian has a sophomore. Brendan Smith, it's really good. Another one to keep an eye on. They don't have any real freshman hitters, but definitely a sophomore to keep an eye on there. Those are probably some of the big, bigger name kids in that freshman sophomore class. Are going to be really, really good this year, or maybe already impact guys, but definitely guys to keep an eye on. That 28-29 class, and from what I'm hearing, that 20-30 class, that eighth grade class in the Fresno area is pretty good too.
No, that's such a strange number. My gosh, 20-30 class. That's way in the future, right? No, that's like 4 years from now, which is crazy. Hey, always great to catch up with you, Paul. So much good information, man. I love following you on Twitter and having our conversations and running to you in your events. I'm sure I'm going to see you really, really soon. So have fun today, have a great weekend, my friend.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate you, man. You have a blessed one. Have a good holiday, too.
All right. You too, Paul Hernandez. All right, we got Phil Bonatti. He is here live, First String Sports. We're going to be wrapping up from our perspective. I know. There's state playoff games, right? State championships still to win. But Phil and I are going to break down some of the cool stuff that we saw in the football season. Maybe preview a little bit of basketball stuff because we're going to be making the rounds. We got some games lined up as well. So Phil's coming on in just a second, live here at First String Sports. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, final segment, hour number two. Go with the Van Halen Jump. I thought for a second Tim Beer was going to throw in some Christmas music to slow it down, just to tease Phil Bonatti. They've been known to do that, right? You're the interns, the people that control things. They like to rib you a little bit with music.
We like to rib the guests sometimes too. I got a friend Asa who comes on the show, and he has a love hate relationship with Joker and the Thief by is it Wolf Mother? Only by the sheer anger that it brings him every time it's played before kickoff at Fresno State.
He hates it.
He says it's so overplayed. It's unbelievable.
I don't get tired of that. That intro is pretty cool. To be honest. Did they tease you with? Did they get you with Mariah Carey?
Mariah Carey, not so much. Actually, so my friends and I, we do a contest. Throughout the we do a little competition among ourselves. Who can avoid hearing Last Christmas by Wham the longest? And I knew I was in dead trouble when I do my show at Fashion Furniture every Thursday. And Tanvir is a witness. We were in the middle of a break, and suddenly I just hear, you know, the great folks of Wham just belting away that Last Christmas song. And I officially got whammed. A couple days ago. I think there's
you got
a couple,
George Michael.
Yeah, George Michael. A couple of friends are still alive in this whole thing. all for just bragging rights. No monetary.
Can you even plan revenge on your part?
Yeah. I've had a person. I was like one of the last people, and someone bought a cameo of a famous like reality TV star, and got them to play Wham through the cameo. I thought it was a shout out to me just for Christmas, and then. And then I play the video, and suddenly I hear Wham, and I'm like, oh.
You got Wham rolled.
You get whammed.
Rick rolled.
You get whammed. Yeah.
You got whammed.
Yeah.
Did it feel weird last night, Phil, to not call a game? I tweeted out, I'm like, I'm home at 11:30 at night.
I was hoping you remembered not to come to the show.
I did. I had to go pick up the equipment.
Because we only had 40 minutes yesterday because of the Celtics, Lakers.
It was a little weird. Yeah. It was kind of nice, though. I fell asleep before 1:30, right? So that was a bonus.
I did not. I was at a rock show last night. So
you social guy.
Down to Strummer's.
You were?
Yeah.
Fun.
It was a good
local
time.
Hangout.
Yeah. You like ska?
1990s.
Oh, yeah.
Scott, we get the little chain on the
belt.
Say Ferris. Say Ferris. Yeah. It's not from the band, but.
Yeah. That was a great show.
Good
Sorry.
For you.
I'm derailing you.
You're
here.
Playing host a little bit. I like it. I think we only got like 15 minutes here, maybe even 14. All right. So high school football for us, as far as the broadcasting wrapped up, we saw some great games this season. Got to call a couple Central Section championship games as well. Right, the days are long, but the seasons are short. Right? Is there like what kind of sticks out for you as far as game wise? Like just a fun atmosphere, great game, good content. Mm-hmm. Like, is there anything that sticks out to you?
I think it's just the curiosity of the play, the storylines that play out, and what teams are actually going to react to. I think high school is so interesting because you think you have it figured out in some ways, and then the players got to play.
All right, we are back. I think we got some technical difficulties. We're hearing some strange things, but I'm hearing that I think you guys are able to hear us. I'm here with Phil Bonatti. All right, so I was just mentioning, Phil, just the consistency, right? You just think of how Clovis North and Clovis East, again, Clovis East did not win a Central Section title last year, but they went, 12-0 before losing to Central. Just how tough it is, right, to stay on top.
Yeah,
I'd like parity. Right, we saw five seeds win Central Section champions. We, you know, I think three number one seeds won. We like Aurora Grande. You're Aurora Grande. That's going to call them for the rest of the time. But right, the parity, that's a good thing, right? I like it. But the dynasties, Clovis West girls basketball, Central East now with football. That's kind of cool too.
Yeah, very cool to consistently see where these teams kind of reload and retool. And we knew what Central East had a lot coming back. They're going to have to answer a few questions in terms of where some other guys will be replaced. But I want to give a shout out to another specific program that I think really defined that retooling and refreshing kind of situation. And it is, I think, Sanger.
Yeah,
needs to be
consistent,
mentioned in terms
man.
Of that.
Gosh.
Because we thought, let's be honest, Paul, we thought that team was down, really down, and didn't think they could win a CMAC, even though we know how capable they are usually every year in and out. Injury situation with the running back situation, and suddenly Coach Logue is able to retool and redefine the team, and the other McGrew brothers shows up and makes things happen, and I think the Sanger Apaches, that's a real good example of a team that has the formula to usually win each in year in and year out, even through the adversity. I find that story interesting.
And I just saw a tweet, I think it was yesterday, obviously all leagues have been named and players of the year. There were five first-teamers for Sanger, and they are all coming back next year.
Crazy.
Right, all juniors and sophomores.
Yeah.
So Sanger's going to be good. But they're stuck, though, in that kind of that bubble, though, Phil, that D1, D2. Are they really a D2 team? They always get thrust up. So, yeah, it's been a while, right? You know, they had great teams with Jalen Cropper and those guys since they had a true, this is a championship-level team, right? I'm thinking Valley Championships, right? Not necessarily CMAC. We know what they've done in CMAC. So, yeah, Sanger, fun program, fun team to watch. Coach Matt Logue has done an amazing job. I got to go through this, Phil. I promised the people this. And the interview with Minarets went so well that they bumped the big signing. We could talk about some of these guys, too. I think these are guys that we're able to watch throughout the year, at least a year about, keep an eye on. So there is the big signing for college football. It was Wednesday, right?
Yeah, Wednesday, early signing day.
Early signing day. So, obviously, Deegan Rose, right, from Clovis, Fresno State. The only other Fresno State local, Fresno, Clovis area kid is Maddox Merrill, and he's going to preferred walk-on. You got the kid from Redwood. We didn't get to see the Zephaniah Cisse. Stud linebacker, three-star kid.
Yeah.
Here's the other one, I guess. From Central East, they have the two big ones, Brandon Smith, E.J. Morgan.
Yeah.
E.J. Morgan to Cal.
I think there's a Union kid.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Flip the page. There he is. Franklin Lockard.
It's your show.
He's an 84 rating and three stars, so he's signed with Fresno State as well. Really quick, let me mention this, guys, and maybe you could just jump in and say some of these, a kid that really impressed you. Israel Briggs signed with Miami. I mentioned E.J. Morgan with Cal. Brandon Smith with Arizona. They're playing tonight at 6. I'm going to be watching that on my phone. Tyree Sam signed with Cal as well. Donovan Dunmore, that kid needs a little more love. That kid made some impressive plays for Buchanan this year. He signed with Wisconsin. O'Shea Webb, a DB that we really liked the last couple of years, signed with Utah State. All right, Utah State.
That's right.
And Frontier, Bakersfield, Michael Watkins flipped to Washington State. We got to watch him against Frontier, Clovis North, that Clovis North game.
That's right, yeah.
Okay. Thoughts on some of those guys? What jumps out? Obviously, Deegan and Brandon.
Deegan's big, of course. Everyone knows what that is, what that's going to be. By the way, I want to shout out Fresno City College of Buchanan grad Ethan Rossetti, long snapper.
Long snap. I did see that.
I wanted to shout him out, too.
One of Pat Hill's favorite. He loves his long snappers.
Right. We know how important long snappers are to the game of football. Deegan's going to be a fascinating storyline coming in. The great, interesting storyline is that this Fresno State team is going to have, like, I think 10 or 11 early enrollees into the spring. So these guys are going to be locking in to the roster right away in the spring practices and all that great stuff. So I think that's going to be a fascinating development of where, of course, Deegan and some of the other guys kind of fit in that Fresno State brings in. But his signing indicates that things can really certainly change in the landscape of recruiting, and guys can get a change of heart. And we know how volatile college football is now. And so these guys are being really careful and where they're really laying their commitment to, because that is such a big decision. Sure. And I think it proves that these kids are thinking, and I think it's important that they're thinking through these situations instead of
and their families are thinking.
Right. Absolutely.
There's money involved.
Absolutely.
Yeah, all that.
You know, and so I think there's a real conscious effort to make sure these kids get the right spot they are. And I do believe all of these kids decided the right decision if it felt true to them. So I'm really happy to see a lot of these guys go where they wanted to go.
Okay, so let's get opinionated Phil on right now. OP.
Yeah.
Deegan, again, early enrollee. We've seen Conklin throw the football. We've seen Warner throw the football. We don't know who's going to throw the football. You might have an idea who's going to play in the bowl game. What kind of shot do you give Deegan next year coming in hot? Well, come on.
Oh, there's another freshman, too.
There is. I did see that.
There is another
from
freshman
down south,
from
I believe.
Rancho Cucamonga,
okay.
I think, or something like that.
You're right.
Somewhere down there. It's going to be a fascinating battle between those two. I don't know if he's an early enrollee either. I don't know if that's what he's doing. But regardless, two verified good top prospects in the freshman side. Is Entz comfortable enough to start true freshmen for what they do in camp? Conklin is eligible to come back, obviously. He is a younger guy, sophomore this year, junior next year. EJ will be out. He's got no more eligibility left. Mandel's the interesting
so expect. For sure. So no, Warner doesn't have any more?
I don't believe it. EJ Warner has any more eligibility.
I thought I remember hearing that he might. So
No. He's done. So I think there's a real interesting debate on whether we've seen the true potential of Conklin. If Conklin gets told he's the guy moving into this, at least spring period. But once again, I think Entz is interested in open competition. I'd imagine that is going to be the case. You wonder how it'll affect the team when it gets going into its new season next year. But I think there's a real there's an interesting X factor with Jaden Mandel that I think we're waiting to see if his injuries are something that can be fully recoverable. If he's a guy that people are clamoring for to at least be a stopgap in that situation, I wonder if that's the move. You know, it kind of felt like he was the clear three below EJ and Ian Conklin. So I think the curious question is, does Conklin transfer? Does he decide to do that instead? And who knows? I don't know what kind of viable market he has out there from what we've seen so far this year. So he may be on this roster. But I don't know if Entz is there yet with starting a true freshman in the first year of the Pac-12.
Well, what have we figured out with Coach Entz?
Yeah.
He doesn't like turnover. What Coach does. But he really, really, really values ball control, possession, and not turning the ball over and executing in the red zone. I think all coaches do that, but I think with Entz, that's a special emphasis.
He really, and I think it's the response. It's the response from his players in adversity, how they respond to adversity, how quickly they can move off of a bad play. Entz has talked about it numerous times. I think it's the
complimentary
the learn, the learn turn, and learn, burn, and return motto that he goes. You learn from it, you burn it up, and then you return with a better mentality going in. And I think he's mentioned it before with EJ. You get a little stuck in the head. Rose seems like a guy who doesn't get let things. He's like duck water off the back kind of guy, you know? So maybe that's a guy that Entz likes in terms of that situation.
Well, we've seen him, right? I mean, even standing in the pocket, the dude will take a hit,
exactly,
right, to execute a throw. So,
yeah.
I mean, just he's not anxious.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that might be a plus for Deegan. All right, we've only got a couple minutes. Gosh darn it, Phil. Brandon Smith. Gosh, you know, you hear elite, right, around him, the NFL potential. So, you know, he just makes plays offensively, defensively. What did you love about him? What do you think he is going to be able to take to the next level?
His physicality is certainly one that is hard to match in terms of what he does with the speed. I think his play of the year was him stripping the ball away from Caruso as a safety and running at 99 yards the other direction, where nobody was like, what the heck happened on the football? Even us, you can hear our callback in terms of that. We've been debating with some people in the know that are like, is he a running back? Is he a safety? I think I'm leaning towards the safety side of it. Particularly just for that kind of aspect to it. He's a darn good running back too because of what he can do to turn the corner. But guys get faster at that different level. So I wonder if safety is the better option.
His vision is elite though.
It is. It is. So,
his vision. How many times do we see him get tackled in the open field with the first tackler?
Right.
Nary.
Yeah. Nary. Yeah. Very.
Nary.
No. Not.
Nary. Not.
So.
Not. All right. Phil, what's a good way to put a bow again? State games are going to be played tonight.
Yeah.
But what's a good bow for you to put on this high school football season?
Offense wins championships.
You mean 70 points through three quarters?
We're
talking about D1.
Could be the norm. Could be the norm for that team. But no, teams play to their identity. And if you stick to it, you're going to win championships. If you try to be something different, you're not. I think when we saw teams get uncharacteristic, we saw them get in trouble in terms of the way they played. And then when you saw, you know, teams like Central East play to within themselves, they're winning titles. You know, we saw it even down to Minarets there.
Yeah.
They played within themselves. They played their game, and they're, you know, playing for a title tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. We've got some basketball stuff, Phil.
Yeah. Next week.
Next week. We can confirm we're going to broadcast some
Clovis West tournament. We're going to pick a semifinal. Right now we're looking at the final one, but really depends. We'll do either the 6:30 or the 8 o'clock. We're going to find out what game's more relevant to us. So.
All right. I can't wait. Good stuff. Hey, good job by you. Last time here for football season.
Appreciate you having me.
We got a show next week. Yeah, absolutely. Always good to talk to Phil. Next week's show, and then a couple weeks off, and then we'll ramp it back up in January. So thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate it. It's a lot of fun. Thanks to Minarets. Good luck to them tonight.
Yeah.
Caden Larson, Torin Wolf, Coach Shannon Pulliam. Thanks to Paul Hernandez. Thanks to Sergio for helping out here with the video, with the YouTubes. Go to YouTubes. And Tanvir. Tanvir was he was quick today, right? He did a good job, man. We got disconnected. We got back on, and
we're good to go.
The people are better for it. All right. And thanks to all you guys for listening. Really appreciate you. This has been the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.